Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your Hospital Performance Improvement Public Reporting Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will be conducting a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the call, please press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Ms. Marguerite Shaffer. Ms. Shaffer, you may begin.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining us. This is our fifth Hospital Performance Improvement Public Reporting Conference Call. Today's call is going to be a bit different because the agenda for today's call is going to focus mainly on public reporting. There are quite a few updates that we'd like to make you aware of and clarify any issues if you are familiar with some of them. On the call today, we're going to have IPRO's Karen O'Leary. She's the project manager for public reporting and somebody you're all very familiar with. She's going to present a host of the updates and changes that will be taking place in the very near future. We're also pleased to have Mary Thurio of Haney's joining us today. Mary is the Director for Quality and Research Initiatives, and will speak to Haney's response to the new requirements published in the Federal Register, as well as some data issues that we'd like to make you aware of. We will take questions after each presentation. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Karen.
Thank you, Peggy, and welcome, everyone. For today's call, I have provided you two documents, one outlining the changes for version 2.0A, effective with July 1st discharges, and the other for version 2.1, effective with October 1st, 2006 discharges. I'd like to highlight a few updates, particularly for July. If you have those handy, maybe you can circle these or just put a star next to them. For all the clinical topics, the data element comfort measures only have been added for all the measures. Pneumonia has two new data elements, which are chest X-ray and risk factors for drug-resistant pneumococcus. Deleted elements include for AMI, the T1B LDL cholesterol testing, and for PN2 and PN7, admission source is no longer collected. Additionally, please note that there is a new release section 2.0B for July. This has newly been posted onto QNET. I'm not sure everybody is aware of it. There's only a small amount of information added here. I think it's three pages. Changes to the glucose post-operative day one and day two, and some ICD-9 code table updates. And I would advise you to take a look at those, check with your vendors to make sure your cases are loaded the way you want them to load. And these are just a brief summary of the changes. You can find the entire listing of the updates in the specs manual available on QNET. For the next part, I'd like to give you some of the HQA updates. Those hospitals that are participating in the HCAHPS program, the HCAHPS online data entry tool is now available. The online data entry tool was developed primarily for hospitals that are self-administering the HCAHPS survey and submitting data on their own. If you're using a vendor to submit your data, you just would like to know about this, but there's nothing that you need to do for it. As a reminder, participation in HCAHPS is voluntary and is not required to receive your market basket for fiscal year 2007. CMS is looking to adopt this for fiscal year 2008 as a requirement. Hospital Compare, many of you do know, the website has been refreshed with fourth quarter 2004 through third quarter 2005 data. As in the past, rates for pneumonia 7, influenza vaccination, and SIP2, prophylactic antibiotic selection, are not publicly reported here. Updates for RACTIPU. The annual payment update reports in QNET will be refreshed and made available when the final rule is determined. These reports include the previously released affected provider participation status report and the upper bound rate report. The upper bound rate report, as a reminder, was the report telling you your annual payment update score or your RACTIPU score to see if you passed for your market basket. As mentioned in last week's conference calls, that we had conducted with Dr. Fimler regarding the Federal Register requirements for the market basket update. Hospitals will be required to complete and return a new pledge form for fiscal year 2007. We are still awaiting this form from CMS, and as usual, when we do hear, we will let you know. In addition, it has come to our attention here that hospitals may need to submit a RACDAPU completeness of data transmission form to us quarterly. This form is really an attestation that providers sign off on, confirming that they have reviewed their feedback reports and verified the completeness of their cases submitted. If a hospital is sampling, they will be signing off that their submissions have followed the CMS Joint Commission sampling requirements. This is a new process for everybody, and when the form is available and then when the process takes place or when the first quarter is that you have to do this, we will let you know. The process, though, will be required by all hospitals every quarter. Hospitals needing assistance in running the feedback reports, please contact me, and I can provide a one-on-one tutorial for all of you. For the reminder section of the agenda, as you all know, fourth quarter charts for validation studies are due to CDAC in 5 business days. You've probably heard that we are doing outreach calls as we speak to make sure that you're getting your records in. There is a holiday next week, so we are concerned about the timing. For fiscal year 2007 update, the proposal states that hospitals will be required to submit data on the 21 clinical quality measures beginning with discharges that occur in the first quarter of 2006. They are the 10 core quality measures plus the additionals. And the additionals are for AMI, fibrinolytic agent within 30 minutes of arrival, PCI within 90 minutes of arrival, and smoking. For pneumonia, they are the blood cultures before antibiotic, initial antibiotic selection, influenza vaccination, remember, October through February. And this data element currently is being collected but not reported. And smoking cessation. For heart failure, the additional measures are discharge instructions and smoking. And lastly, for SIP, it's SIP 1 and 3, which is antibiotics within 60 minutes of incision and antibiotics discontinued within 24 hours after surgery end time, and that's 48 hours for cardiac. These two SIP measures are for CMS submission purposes only. These are only required for CMS. Hospitals should also be updating their vendor authorization screens in QNET to include SIP. If your hospital is part of a larger network or corporation and you are awaiting approval to do this, please contact me. And I think that's it. Yolanda, can you? We went through that fast. So, Yolanda, can you open it up for questions?
Yes, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If you feel your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from Mary Ann Gordon of John T. Mather Hospital.
Yes, I just have a quick question. It was your last remark. I think our facility is fine, but how do I verify that we have actually given the information to QNET that we are participating with the SIP? I think we've already done that, but I just wanted to make sure that I am up to date on that.
Sure, Marion, I can check in my database, but for your purposes, I would go into your QNET provider self-screen screens or self-screen self-provider screens.
Okay.
Your provider profile.
Okay.
And you should see your clinical or quality measures listed there.
Okay. Okay, then I'm okay because I believe they're in there. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll check too, Marion.
Thanks. Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. I'm showing no further questions at this time, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to turn the call over to Mary Thurio from Haney's.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm glad to be here. What I'd like to do today is just to review a few things because they fit perfectly in with talking about public reporting. Let's begin with the proposed Federal Register and the changes that will probably affect us all. To get you all back up on speed here, the Federal Register is printed once a year. It usually comes out in April as a proposal. You've heard many people, if you sit on many committees in your hospital, not only was there quality changes or proposed changes, but I'm just looking at the table of contents. It talked about DRG changes. It talked about wage index changes, cost outliers, rural hospitals, graduate medical education, and probably about 13 other things. So you can see when we talk about the Federal Register, it affects almost everything you do in your hospital once a year from CMS and how the payment's going to be. So for us, again, we're here in quality, and as you remember, we all sat here in the year 2002 when the Medicare market basket adjustment changed what we did, and we were told at that point that we had to do 10 measures, and it had to be validated, had to get into the CMS warehouse, and then that information would turn into every year you getting 0.04% of whatever your hospital's eligible market basket adjustment was. Well, for this year, it now has a different name. It's called the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. And as you heard Karen say clearly, it is up to 21 measures. The amount of money is up to 2% that will be looked at for the it's based on the number of beds that you have. And at this moment in time, the piece that has us all a little bit crazy, and certainly anticipating for all of you the resource-intensive use, is they wrote in the Federal Register in April that you needed to go back to January 1st, 2006 for all 21 measures, including the surgical infection prevention. Now, as every proposed register comes out, there's a comment period. Haney's had some conference calls with many hospitals. We took it to our quality steering committee. We reached out by email to different people to comment. We put this information out. We put together what we call a comment letter, which, you know, we as well as Greater New York, as well as many, many other organizations, to tell CMS about this burden. A quick summary, actually the comment letter is posted up on the Haney's website, but basically we wanted to for them to know what a real hardship it would be for you guys to all go back to 1106 for all the measures. We also talked about many of you who have been around a while know the validation process is still a little cloudy in the sense of how does the score come out element by element. We're asking again that CMS be very transparent, that the reports you download from QNET are very clear. This is what goes into your validation score. We've also talked about the ability, many of you would like to appeal anything that you're doing, including the things that are above 80. Many of you see it as a learning experience to figure out how to do things better in your hospital, as well as many of your hospitals are asking you to have a higher score than 80. So those are some of the things that we put into our comment letter. Now, get everybody up to speed here. We will not hear about the final proposal till the end of July, the beginning of August. That's just the cycle. So if all of the folks sitting on the phone, when you hear Karen, myself, and Ruth Welch, or anyone you speak to, telling you to be ready to put the information, to data abstract your charts for surgical infection and the extra measures, to be ready to send it, that's what we're saying this for. We do hope that they change the date to maybe being a July 1st, but no one knows that for sure. I have no inside track. They have no inside track at iPro. We have to go based on what we see in the proposed legislation. The problem for all of you, you all use different vendors. Vendors have a lot of different dates that they send to CMS this information. So let's just say we hear August 1st that you have to go back to 1106 discharges. Well, you got all the information. Now you crazy put it into your vendor software, and your vendor transmits it to CMS. The door closes at CMS on August 15th. You may or may not have time to see what issues there were in CMS. If you've never submitted surgical infection to CMS before and the data warehouse, are you sure it's all going to get in? Risky business. So when you're asking us, you know, and wanting us to tell you what to do, the message that we hear from the American Hospital Association, that you hear from iPro, is that you need to do this. You need to be ready to do this, pull your charts, make sure you understand what you're doing, and certainly be very aware of how your vendors submit this to CMS's warehouse, and not be caught out in the cold that it's so locked up, or your vendor has no intentions of submitting after August 5th, that you could not get that information in. Because remember, there's no going back. If it's not in the warehouse first quarter for August 15th, that's it, folks. And there has been clear messaging that the CMS expects the hospitals to hear that. They've been very clear in the Federal Register. So that's kind of the rundown on the Federal Register. You know, I'd like to tell you about a couple of other public reports to make sure you're aware of them, and then I can try to take any questions and certainly get information back to you. Many of you that are in different circles in your hospital understand that today public reporting of information is not going away. If anything, more and more companies and more agencies are picking it up. There's been a couple in the headlines in the last 3 months that we'll talk about first. One is HealthGrades that came out. They use administrative data. Now, to remind you all, that's billing data. That is your ICD-9s, that's your admission date, discharge date, where the patient came from, where the patient went to. All of this information is submitted to MedPAR, which is patients that are over 65, and many, many people, that's online, free to download. Other people can petition the Agency for Healthcare Research to do some research information. That happens to be the Dartmouth study. Now, for all of you that you remember and you saw the headlines, it didn't make a splash in New York State, I'm glad, but the reality is out of 50 states, we're number 51. I mean, out of 51 states, we're number 50. The issue for us, again, administrative data. That is patient safety indicators taking from billing data. The two issues that were very high on the list for us scoring or not scoring, whatever way you want to look at it, is a failure to thrive and the number of pressure ulcers that we have in our facilities. Now, again, we can attack the data, we can talk about the coding, we can talk about whatever we want, but the reality is that's what's out there for public reporting, and it's my job at Haney's as well as all of your jobs. We got to keep working on this, figuring out how and why and what's going to happen. So those are two public reports that you may or may not have heard of that also get into the mix of all that we're speaking about. The two newest ones out of New York State are things you may, and I recommend highly that you go out to the websites and look at. The first has been around since April, and it's the New York State Hospital Profile. Now, you can either get it by putting that into Google or going into the New York State Department of Health website, and you'll see a link right there. That information comes from Hospital Compare, all right? But there are some things that when you look at that, or a consumer, or even maybe one of your physicians, or anyone looks at that, you're going to say, what's going on? In CMS, as you all know, is that when you go in and download your report, you will see that there might be a blue dot for if you have less than 25 cases. But when you drill down to the table that's there in the public reporting, you can see all the numerators and denominators and rates. The Department of Health made a decision to only post anything that was above 25 cases in your hospital. So sometimes something can be posted on Hospital Compare that's not in New York State. They also do what we call a combined or a composite score, similar to what JACO does, so you see a rolled-up number, okay? That floors people a little. When you look at item by item, your focus set and your measure, you may look okay. When you roll that all up, sometimes the number isn't exactly what you want. So you may hear someone quoting a number to you, and when you truly ask them where they saw it, it may be that combined composite score. So those are just some heads up. They also post a little bit differently. They will not be refreshing the New York State, and again, I'm only going on what happened last time. They basically go on a quarter. So June 22nd is when CMS did their hospital compare on that site. I do not expect to see New York State till the beginning of July. So again, different numbers, different places, which is some of the things that can make you crazy as quality people when people ask you the question. The very last website that came out just this week, for years, the Department of Health, using iPro and using Sparks data and using, I have to look at it in the news results, it's the HMO, so it's the National Committee of Quality Assurance. All that information rolls up to what is a new report card. This report card basically is looking at managed care organizations. So it's the Empire plans. You'll see them all out there when you go out to it. By the way, the name of the website is abouthealthquality.org, and you can go in and look. The thing that made news, and it made probably about 15 newspapers, just so you know, the day it came out on June 26, was its cost reports. So it's broken down into types of events, like surgery, care of patients with an MI, and it shows you how much money that case cost based on what is going on at your hospital. Take a look. It's kind of interesting, and certainly when you start wide variation when you go to the city. There is some...
Even upstate
down. Yeah, there's some references, but you got to dig for it. The other thing that's interesting is they pulled all of Hospital Compare in there from the New York State Hospital Profile. So you'll see all your numbers again for AMI, heart failure, pneumonia, and eventually surgical infection. Remember, the goal for all of this is transparency. The goal for the New York State Department of Health is to have every single thing that is publicly reported in one place, easy for consumers to get. So that's why they keep drilling all of this stuff up together. The very last thing just to quickly talk about, and this is a positive, both of these websites, no matter what the content is, are done absolutely outstanding. They make Hospital Compare look like on a scale of 0 to 10, maybe a 2. And I'm sitting here, and I'm not just saying this, but iPro had a great deal to do with that in the web design, and truly you need to look at what good work can be done when the right people ask. Many of you were asked in hospitals what you thought. We were asked as the associations, and when you get the right people at the table, things can look better than what we have in other websites. So I guess that's the end of that. What else did you want me to cover, Karen, before I take...
I think that's it.
Okay. Questions? We'll go back to the moderator.
Yolanda?
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. If you feel your question is answered and you'd like to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. Our first question comes from, is it Chime?
Yes.
Of Niagara Falls
Chime.
Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Chime.
Hi. I have a question about the comparison also of the New York State Hospital Profile versus the Hospital Compare website.
Yep.
Why are the data dates so different? Like the New York State Profile takes you through June of 05, and Hospital Compare just refreshed up to fourth quarter 04?
Yep. Now, what I said is they're not on quite the timetable. They're going to do it by quarter. So sometime the beginning of July,
This
June 22nd will be updated. But it is something for the quality people to be aware of. When people are asking you why it's different, it's just a lag time.
Okay, because I thought you said the profile took the information from the Hospital Compare website.
They do, but they do it on their timetable, not on CMS's timetable.
I see. And
the timetable for the Department of Health is going to be the first quarter after the release. So they released it in June 22nd.
Okay.
And, of course, we have the 4th of July. The reason I'm being vague in July is I don't know if they'll refresh New York State the beginning you know, the 3rd, that's really kind of like a holiday, or it'll be after the 7th. I haven't talked to Bob Barnett at the Department of Health. I certainly can get that information, and I'll get it back to Karen. She can even answer the question.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a question from Jay Thompson of Sunnydale State Medical Center.
Hi, good afternoon. The question that I'm going to ask, we want to know that since there are a lot of different issues and problems with offenders, is there any consideration that we might be moving towards inputting data directly to CMS in the future?
The vendor issues are certainly something that we probably should do offline, because it certainly is specific to each hospital. We do know there's vendor issues out there. Again, I just need to, and I'll be the bully here, I will tell you what CMS has told me directly, and I need you to make sure you bring this back to your leadership team. You guys contract with your vendors. CMS will not take a vendor excuse for getting information up to CMS. So you do need to work with your vendors. You need to have your leadership team understand, and they certainly do, what 2% is of your money, and figure out what you're going to do.
We have had experience recently. We've called vendors. We've had the hospitals call vendors and discuss with them their close dates. And you know, they realize there's a bit of a crunch right now, so that can be sometimes renegotiated. So as Mary just mentioned, you know, you have a contract with these people, you pay them, so they kind of, in a way, work for you. You need to call them and speak with them, because if you need an extension, you need to let them know that. And sometimes we've been very fortunate. I think if you call them directly and speak to them, you'll be able to get some sort of an extension.
Yeah, don't struggle with your vendor. If you're having issues, they really need to be brought to the table, because come renegotiation time, you may or may not want to go back with them. But really, the issues need to be raised with them.
And, you know, it's nationwide, so your vendor probably serves other hospitals in the country. So you may want to network. I think was this a SUNY hospital?
Yeah.
So you may want to, you know, network with people that are also using them. So that may be another way to go. There's always power in numbers.
But they have listened, so I would give them a call and speak to them directly. Any other questions from anyone?
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. Showing no questions at this time, ma'am.
I know that we've shared a lot of information with you, especially on the updates. If you read over Karen's notes and you do have any questions, please feel free to give us a call. I would also ask you to take time to fill out the evaluation form that has been shared with you. I also want to put you on notice that the next conference call that we are going to have is going to cover the surgical care improvement project and some of the data abstraction issues as they relate to SCIP. And again, I just want to see Yolanda if anyone has any questions.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the 1 key on your touch-tone telephone. We have a question from Regina Gilberti of Long Island Healthcare.
Hi. Hi, good afternoon. I just wanted to say thank you very much for that information regarding the abouthealthquality.org. As we were going through the topic information, I logged on, and you're right, it does give a nice comprehensive view of all of those initiatives all acclimated together under one website, including voluntary and the starter set. So I thank you for that information.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
We know it's a maze. None of us, we do this all day, and many of us have to call each other and say, what do we hear? So we hope that that's what we do, is we give you some information that helps it a little bit.
We have a question from Peggy Schultz of United Health Services.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm wondering, what was the topic going to be next time? You said something, and then you said skip?
The Surgical Care Improvement Project.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, I didn't hear the whole thing. Okay, thank
you. Yeah, we'll send out a notice about it. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
And it will be on
August 1st.
The 1st of August at,
I think, 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Thank you.
Pulling that out of me.
Thank you. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press the 1 key at this time. Not showing any further questions, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I would like to wish all of you good luck on your endeavor to get all of this data compiled and input. And if there's anything that we can do to assist you, please give us a call. You know, we're here if you need anything. Thanks, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day. You may all disconnect.